Google avoided a breakup of its advertising technology business this week, and the ruling from the federal court in Virginia is worth unpacking carefully because there's been a lot of loose language around this case, both in the press and in the original DOJ filings.
The background here is that the DOJ had argued Google should be forced to divest its publisher ad server and its ad exchange, essentially the plumbing that connects advertisers to the web pages that show their ads. The government's theory was that Google controlled both the buy side and the sell side of that market, which it used to extract above-market fees and steer deals toward its own products. That's a real structural concern. And notably, the court actually found that Google had violated antitrust law. This isn't an exoneration on the merits. The remedy just fell short of divestiture.
Right, and this is where the distinction between liability and remedy becomes crucial. The court agreed that Google behaved anti-competitively in certain segments of the ad tech stack. But the remedy the DOJ sought, forced divestiture of the ad exchange specifically, was deemed disproportionate given the projected market disruption and the court's view that behavioral remedies could address the harm. Google will face restrictions on how it operates certain products and how it interacts with rival exchanges, but it keeps the business intact.
This feels like a partial victory for the DOJ in terms of establishing the legal precedent that ad tech markets can be monopolized, but a significant operational win for Google. The business they were most worried about losing, the ad exchange, which touches essentially every major web publisher, stays under their roof.
And this is a good moment to talk about what antitrust law actually requires, because I think there's a widespread misconception. People often assume that if a company is very large or has a very high market share, that by itself constitutes an illegal monopoly. That's not what the Sherman Act says.
Walk us through it, Marcus, the Sherman Act basics.
So the Sherman Act, passed in 1890, prohibits two main things in the relevant sections. Section 1 prohibits contracts or conspiracies in restraint of trade, think price fixing between competitors. Section 2 is what's relevant here. It prohibits monopolization or attempted monopolization of a market. The key word is monopolization as a verb. It's not just about being big, it's about how you got big and how you use that position. Courts use a framework that asks, does the company have monopoly power in a relevant market, and did it acquire or maintain that power through exclusionary conduct rather than, say, superior products or legitimate competition?
So market share is evidence, but not the whole case.
Exactly. A company with 70% market share that got there by being genuinely better isn't automatically in violation. A company with 50% share that got there by signing exclusionary contracts that locked out rivals, that's the conduct element the law targets. The Google search case and the ad tech case are actually quite different on this axis. In search, the exclusionary conduct was distribution agreements, paying Apple billions to be the default search engine. In ad tech, it was more about technical integration and pricing practices that disadvantaged rivals on both sides of the market.
The analogy I find useful here is a produce market. Imagine one company owns the only refrigerated warehouse in town, the delivery trucks, and the stalls at the market. If they charge warehouse fees that are only favorable to their own stall operators, and use the truck routing to make deliveries to competing stalls slower, that's the kind of self-dealing the Sherman Act targets. It's not that owning all three is inherently illegal. It's the weaponization of that vertical integration against competition.
And that's precisely the theory the DOJ ran in this case. The court found it partially valid. Google did engage in exclusionary conduct in certain segments. The behavioral remedies are supposed to prevent the worst of the self-dealing going forward. Whether they'll be effective without structural separation is genuinely contested among antitrust economists. Historical evidence from the Microsoft case in the early 2000s suggests behavioral remedies in tech markets tend to be difficult to monitor and enforce.
The HN comments on this story are running hot. There's a contingent that views this as regulatory capture, that the penalties are never severe enough to change the underlying incentive structure. There's a more measured view that divestiture remedies in complex tech markets often create as many problems as they solve. And there's a third thread, specifically about what this means for the open web and smaller publishers, who depend on ad revenue, but have very limited negotiating power with Google's stack.
That third thread is the one I keep coming back to. The structural winner from Google's vertical integration in ad tech hasn't been Google's shareholders alone. it's been advertisers to some degree because Google's auction efficiency is genuinely good. The losers have been publishers, who see a smaller percentage of ad revenue than they would in a more competitive market. If behavioral remedies don't restore publisher revenue share, the practical harm continues regardless of the legal outcome.
One more thing worth noting, this ruling does not resolve the DOJ's separate remedy proceedings in the Google search case, where the structural divestiture question around Chrome and Android is still live. The ad tech outcome here might signal judicial reluctance toward breakup remedies in general, which could influence how aggressively the DOJ pursues structural relief in that proceeding.